God bless you. And I noticed that during our worship time, the word bless was used several times. And we use that term, and rightly so. It's a major biblical concept. God bless you. Has anybody said that to you personally yet this morning? Well, maybe not. Have you said that to anyone else? It's a good thing. What do we mean by blessing? What is that? If somebody says, God bless you, what are they saying? Well, it's a good thing. They want good things for you. They want God's favor upon you. They want God to supply your needs. They want God to comfort you, to relieve you of stress, to give you a hope. God bless you. And I can say this morning that I am here to say that to all of you. That is my prayer. That's my attitude in being here. May God bless you this morning. And we're here with good news because God has blessed us. And we'll learn more of that as we read Ephesians 1:1-14. Would you follow in your Bible as I read that passage, 1:1-14, and this text is going to reveal three very powerful, significant blessings that are absolutely vital for us in our Christian life. We'll pick them up. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Stop there the rest of your life. And let me read it this way. Kelly, a believer in Jesus Christ by the will of God. Kenton, a follower of Jesus Christ by the will of God. We're all included here. To the saints who are at Ephesus, faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed, here's Paul saying a blessing to God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation or creation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless and without blame before him, in love having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved, that is Christ. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and understanding, having made to known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. The fact stated here is that God has blessed us. Blessed us with every spiritual blessing spelled out in three major ways in this passage. It's very simple, and we'll just go through it in a very simple way, but that doesn't make it any less powerful or significant. The teacher who taught with the greatest simplicity in all history is our Lord Jesus Christ. He was the most knowledgeable. He was the most scholarly. He was the greatest of intellects. But he made things very simple. And he said things very briefly. Now, a person who doesn't know the subject takes a long time to tell you he doesn't know. The person who knows the subject says it very simply. And Paul said this very simply. God has chosen us. Now then, to approach the passage, we ask a question. How has God blessed his people? How has God blessed you this morning? How has God blessed me? And he begins with this statement that we have been chosen. The Father, God the Father, chose us to be Christians, to believe in Christ. Now, the majority of people in the world do not believe. God has specifically selected you and me to believe. It's his doing. And when did he do it? Before he created. He made the decision. He decided to be gracious to certain of his creation. You and I are included in that. So by definition, his choosing is a selection, a determination, and we are the elect. Now, number two about this election, it's fact. It is a biblical fact. It's from Genesis through Revelation. And it's so well supported biblically, I'm not going to try to get into all that. But it's just absolutely true. On one occasion, Jesus said to his disciples, "You have not chosen me. I have chosen you." So it's by definition, by fact, by purpose. It is stated here three times in this passage, it's to the praise of the glory of his grace. It is to God's glory that he chose his people to be saved. Now then, it's very personal. God chooses persons. You think of Adam. Adam was chosen by God. It could have been another person there. Could have been any of the men here. But God chose Adam. God chose from among many people Noah to build that ark. God chose Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, the Apostle Paul, John, you and me. It's very personal. Now, this is very important to us in our life. It's probably the most humbling thing that a Christian could think about. God chose me. What does that do? It removes us from any pride or any thought that we deserve God's blessing. It's very humbling. It is most comforting. A lot of struggles, a lot of troubles, a lot of trials can come along in life. But if I know I'm God's and that He chose me, it's very comforting, so that it produces the greatest of all gratitude. If you can't be thankful for anything else this morning, you don't have anything going for you, you have this. I am God's chosen one. Thank Him for that. Now, we should also know that it is the most controversial truth among Christians, so that today those of us who believe this great truth are among a minority people. And people get very angry and very much opposed to the fact when they learn about election or hear about it, that isn't fair. It isn't fair for God to choose. We human beings ought to get to choose. We ought to get the freedom of our will to do this. I'm reminded of two men in history who talk about this in their life. One was a man named George Mueller. George Mueller lived in Germany, and he became very well known because he owned or ran a big orphanage. And he had to be a man of prayer, because there was no sponsorship, no one supplying except God in prayer. George Mueller became a man of prayer. And it is said that many times there wouldn't be any milk or bread in the morning to feed them. And he'd step outside the door and there would be a truck with a supply. Well, anyway, George Mueller said he fought this doctrine and just couldn't handle it until he studied it in Scripture, and he found out that there were four times as many Scriptures supporting election as you might think were opposed. Charles Spurgeon became very much involved in election, because he says one time he was sitting in church, and he wasn't paying much attention to the sermon. Did you hear that, folks? One time he was sitting in church, because he didn't believe what the man was saying. And he got to thinking about, why am I in church? How did I come to believe? How did I come to pray? He said, well, there had to be something behind. Had to be God doing something before I did. And he came to be a believer in all the doctrines of God's sovereign grace. Election. How has God blessed us this morning? Through the Father's election. That ought to stir our hearts to the being, to last through the rest of our life. God has chosen us. Now, the second thing in this passage that reveals that God has chosen us is in the verse we read together in the bulletin. The Father has chosen us. The Son has redeemed us. See, we believe God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Father chose us, and the Son redeemed us. It wasn't enough for the Father to choose us to bring about our salvation. Somebody had to save us from our sin. Somebody had to make the sacrifice that brought us forgiveness, and so it is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in whom we have redemption through our good works and what we have done. No, it's through His blood, redemption through Him in His name. And so we have the Father's election. We have the Son's redemption. Thirdly, we have the Holy Spirit's invasion. Now here's the Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. How has God blessed us? With His election, with the redemption, and now the Holy Spirit's invasion or regeneration, verses 13 and 14, all included in our salvation. So now, think of this. The Father chose. The Son redeemed and made the sacrifice, but it has not yet become personal. It has not yet been realized. We may see it on the page of Scripture, but someone has to come and invade our heart and mind with this truth and make it alive in our heart. It's called regenerating us. We take the word generator. What or who is a generator? A generator is the cause that brings the energy. We think of evolution. Evolution says there is no personal cause. It's just here. And we say in Christianity, God is the generator. So we have God creating the original human. He's innocent. Then he sins. And so now he's in a terrible condition. God told him what to do. He disobeyed. He fell from disobedience, from innocence into sin. He's condemned, he's under wrath, he's on his way to hell, unless God blesses him with his salvation, which he did. And that's what it takes for you and I to really come to faith and believe. We must come to faith. That requires a divine action because it's not something we can do on ourselves. There is no one who can decide to believe. There is no one who can make that decision. No one is wise enough. If you are a Christian and your neighbor is not, if you are in school and your fellow student is not a Christian, it's not because you're wiser. It is not because you are, quote, smarter. It is not because you are better. It's because God has blessed you by choosing you and by redeeming you and by visiting you personally by the Holy Spirit with a divine, powerful action within that regenerates our lost soul. The Holy Spirit does that by convicting us of truth. Yes, I'm lost. I need salvation. I am sinner. Then He convinces of who Christ really is. And then He creates that faith in the person. And He does this so marvelously that He takes this rebellious will of mine, which is anti-God, anti-Christ, and makes this hard, stubborn, rebellious, disobedient will become willing. And now, this morning, I willingly, gloriously believe in Christ. I wouldn't want it any other way. And He is so marvelous. He renews our will and compels that will with a response called regeneration. So here we have God's blessing to invade our life, give us understanding, open blindness, open the deafness of our ears, and live in us. God came to live in us. That's His blessing. And Paul says we are now a new creation. The purpose of God is not to work with our old sinful nature to try to transform that. No, He's giving us a new life, the life of a believer and the life of a saint, and now we are regenerate people, blessed beyond measure. How? By the Father's choice, by the Son's redemption, by the Holy Spirit's invasion. Now, we have hit theirs this morning. Heavy, heavy duty doctrinal truth. And I hope it's not going over the head, because it is so marvelous and so practical and so useful in our lives. And my prayer would be that you just take this passage of Scripture and read it and read it and read it until you realize in your being the impact of this truth. It is so marvelous. We need the Father's work of election. We need the Son's work of redemption. We need the Holy Spirit's invasion of regeneration. And when this makes an impact on our life, we will be spiritually alive, spiritually afire with the glory of God. And may this all be to the praise and the glory of His grace. Our Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we bow in prayer to worship and thank You for what You have done for us in terms of election and redemption and regeneration. We bow in gratitude and humble worship and ask that You will make this so real in our life that we will be able to declare this wonderful gospel to those around us. Thank You, Lord God, that You have blessed us. We pray for Your continued blessing upon those of us here and those whom we know and love in our family and friends. God bless us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.